I do not like snakes. And I suspect that a good many of you agree with me on that. We just don't like snakes. And if you don't like snakes, maybe a good place to be would be Hawaii. Did you know snakes are actually illegal in Hawaii? It's against the law to have a snake. There are no indigenous snakes to the Hawaiian Islands. And the laws are made so that it's illegal to even have a pet snake in Hawaii. If you have a pet snake, there's a $200 fine and a possible three-year sentence to prison. It's illegal to have snakes in Hawaii. Sometimes we get involved with things that are called spiritual snakes. Little snakes that creep into our lives and cause us to do things and lead us in ways that perhaps we shouldn't go. But if we follow the will of the Lord, we should have immunity from those snakes. Our reading this morning for the sermon comes from the book of Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 18. And Mark says, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall accompany those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover.'" Let's pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we pray that there is a message for us here this morning. We pray that by what we hear and by how you move our hearts, we will be led to lead lives for you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So you've got this tropical Hawaiian paradise where there are no snakes, where there are laws that say that you can't have snakes. And they're very, very careful about making sure that these laws are enforced. As a matter of fact, if you see a snake in Hawaii, like slithering down the sidewalk or on the roadway, you're actually asked to call 911. Can you imagine in Nevada if we did that? They wouldn't be coming to take away the snake, they'd be coming to take away you. But here's a little known fact about Hawaii. They do have snakes, and they have a lot of them. What they have are very, very small, and if you don't know what you're looking for, you could actually mistake them for an earthworm. They're called blind snakes. They're, like I said, they're very small, about the size of an earthworm. They're called blind snakes because they have very limited perception with light. And they're not native to Hawaii. It's believed that they came into the state in probably about the 1980s on a boat from the Philippines. And so as you're out there, if you go to Hawaii and you're visiting that beautiful tropical paradise, and it is, just remember there are snakes among you. And I suppose if you wanted to avoid them, you could go down to the beach, run into the water, and be with the sharks. But you know, just as there are those little snakes in Hawaii that are not very noticeable, that most people, even many Hawaiians, do not know about, there are spiritual snakes among us. These little things in our lives that get to us and they attack our faith and they try and convince us that the way that we're going isn't necessarily the right way to go. And you can say, wait a minute. They should have no effect on us at all, because remember what we just read out of the book of Mark, out of Mark's letter, where we're told that, you know, you can hold snakes, you can drink the poison, and it's not going to harm you. So what about that? Don't we have immunity from these spiritual snakes? Don't we have immunity from these things that attack our lives? And the answer is yes, and the answer is yes, but. There's There's a condition that's implied here, and we need to understand that, because sometimes as Christians we get so full of ourselves that we think we can do no wrong. Oh yeah, we just had a prayer of confession. But we think we can do no wrong, and we think that we're full of the Spirit, and we can go out, and we can pretty much do whatever it is that we want to do. And that's where we go wrong, because it's not about doing what we want to do. You see, what Mark is talking about here is the Great Commission, and he's saying when you go out and you do the will of God, when you do the things that you are supposed to do, when you're walking in the will of God, then you have the immunity from the snakes and the poison. But if you're going to go out and you're going to be disobedient, yes, you still will have a measure of protection from the Lord, because you're not going to lose your salvation. We firmly believe that. But at the same time, why is the Lord going to extend to you His full protection when you're disobeying Him, when you're not doing the things that you're called to do? So we're called to go out into the world, and we're called to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the world. And when we do that, and when we do that the way that we're supposed to be doing it, we have protection. We have protection. When we are in the will of God, we have protection from the enemy that would be against us. In Deuteronomy, the 8th chapter, verse 15, the people are told this. They're told this about God. They're told, He led you through the vast and dreadful desert, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. You were led through a desert, He's telling the people, and you survived. And the reason that you survived, the reason that they survived, was because they were doing the will of God. But here's the thing, a few verses later, starting in verse 19, the people are warned that if you worship another god, if you disobey God, you are going to die. You are going to be destroyed. And we saw that in the Old Testament as the people were led out of Egypt on the way to the Promised Land. They went through the desert. At first, it seemed like a good thing, but then they started to become disobedient, and it became not such a good thing for them, because they no longer had the protection of God. And God actually destroyed almost everybody that left Egypt on the way to the Holy Land. They didn't make it there. There were only a few people who actually did. Because if you want the protection of the Lord, you've got to be obedient. We are tempted by all sorts of things, these little spiritual snakes that get into our lives every day as we go out and do the things that we're supposed to be doing. And it comes to us in very subtle ways. It comes to us in the books that we read. It comes to us in the movies that we see. And I'm not talking necessarily about what we would call secular books and secular movies. I'm talking about those, but I'm also talking as well about things that are written that are supposed to be Christian books, Christian movies, Christian songs, all these things that we say it must be okay because it explains Jesus to us. It explains our faith to us. A lot of books and movies and songs and other things are really good as long as they keep pointing us to Jesus Christ. We need to look in the right places to be pointed to Jesus Christ. When we go out and we do our own thing, so often we allow ourselves to be led astray because we're not looking in the places where we're supposed to be looking. There's an old TV show, I Love Lucy. Some of you may be familiar with it. It's really old, but there's still a lot of reruns on TV. It's kind of a silly show. I Love Lucy, and I don't really particularly love Lucy. I thought it was silly. But sometimes there's little lessons to be learned in some of the episodes. And there's this one episode where Ricky, her husband, comes home from work, and he walks into the living room, and he sees Lucy on the floor looking around, and he says, "What are you doing?" And she says, "I lost my earring." And he says, "Oh, you lost your earring in the living room?" And she says, "No, I lost my earring in the bedroom, but the light is so much better out here." Sometimes that's the way we are. We're searching for the Lord, and there is no doubt that we are searching for the Lord, but we're looking in the wrong places. You know, we have a heart for Jesus, and we want to do the right thing. And sometimes we'll just grasp onto almost anything that has the Lord's name attached to it. That's not necessarily the right way to go. You know, when John the Baptist was out in the wilderness and he was baptizing people and he was giving what he was giving God's message to the people, and they were coming to him. We're told in Luke 3, verse 7, John said to the crowds coming out to be baptized, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance." When we go to these other sources outside of the Bible, are these other sources, are these other books, are these other movies, are these other songs producing fruit for the Lord? Or are they just a bunch of words that we're reading that are actually the thoughts of one person? The thoughts of one person that may or may not be correct. The thoughts of one person that reflects perhaps their relationship with God. And people who have a relationship with God may or may not be Christians. It's as simple as that. Everybody in some way has a relationship with God, whether it's through the saving grace of Jesus Christ or through some false religion. Everybody has some sort of a relationship with Jesus Christ, with God. And we need to be aware of that. We need to look out for that. You know, the Bible tells us to test all spirits. Well, the question then becomes, what spirit do we test it against? We test it against the Holy Spirit. And how do we know the Holy Spirit? We know the Holy Spirit through His Word, through the Bible, through what He tells us in Scriptures. I demonstrated last week that the Bible can be quoted, but it can be used for the wrong reasons. And we need to watch out for that. Remember that quote that I gave you from Deepak Chopra, who is quoting from the book of Luke, where Jesus says, "The kingdom of God is in you, the kingdom of God is among you." And his interpretation of that was, "You are the universe." And no, you're not. We need to be careful where we look, what we are willing to accept, how we test spirits. There are those spiritual snakes among us that will lead us astray. Do we have immunity from them? Yes, we do, but only to the extent that we are walking in the will of God. When we are obedient to His Word, when we step outside of His Word, then we lose a certain measure of that protection. But once again, have faith, because God is not going to desert us. The Holy Spirit is not going to desert us. But we need to be responsive to the Holy Spirit so that we're led back to the way that we should go. God's Word. God's Word. We believe that God's Word is inspired by the Holy Spirit, that it is God speaking to us. And whenever we're out there and we encounter these spiritual snakes, these things that claim to represent Jesus Christ, that claim to represent the Trinity, the things that claim to represent Yahweh, whenever we encounter these, some of them will be good. Some of them will help us and give us insight. And some of them won't. And we always need to come back to the Word of God. We always need to test it against God's Word. And pray, Pray for the illumination of the Holy Spirit as we read God's Word. We have a nice big Bible up here this morning. It's up here every week, and sometimes on Communion Sunday it's off to the side. But it reminds us. It reminds us of the story of the cross. It reminds us that God's Word is among us. God's Word is among us. And it's here for us to read and to understand and to live by. And the truth is, we don't always understand it. And sometimes that's the way that we go astray. We don't always understand what the Bible says. And sometimes the Bible actually doesn't answer our questions. That happens sometimes. I listened to a call-in show on a Catholic radio station from time to time. And there's a priest that answers questions. People call in with questions. They're actually good questions about the Bible. And every once in a while, his answer will be, "This is one of the mysteries of our faith. We don't always get to understand everything." And like Lucy, who was in the light that had the room looking for her earring, sometimes we need to go back into the room that is a little bit dark, that things are a little more difficult, and we need to accept what we find in that room. And sometimes we'll find what we're looking for, sometimes we won't. But the one thing that we will always find, is the grace of Jesus Christ. We will always find our salvation, and we will never be forsaken. We go to the Bible and we remember that the Bible, one of the things that we believe about the Bible is that Scripture is sufficient unto itself. The Bible is sufficient unto itself. Questions that you have of the Bible will be answered in the Bible. The questions that we have about our faith, we should be able to find in God's Word. We believe that Scripture bears witness to Scripture. And we hold the Bible in very high regard. Bibles are very precious to us, and sometimes we have Bibles that are very personal to us. I remember back many years ago, I do this thing many years ago. I'm getting to that age now where I can't say a few years ago, because often when I'm talking about many years ago, I'm talking about back in the last century. There was a time when, on the way home from church one Sunday, two of my children got into an argument. My children got into a lot of arguments on the way home from church, and I blame that on Pastor Jay. Let's cut the theology out of this, okay? We were on the way home from church, and my daughter, who apparently had nothing better to do than start an argument, because that's what she does, turned to her brother and said, "My Bible is better than your Bible." And my son just sort of like, "Well, really? Why is your Bible better than my Bible?" And she said, "Because my Bible has colored maps in the back." And her brother said, "Well, my Bible has colored maps in the back too. And my Bible actually has colored pictures all through it." And she says, "Well, my Bible has colored pictures all through it also. And my Bible also has a concordance." And they went back and forth like this for a few minutes. And finally, I guess my daughter wanted to end the argument, and she picked up her Bible, and she pointed to the cover, and she said, "Look, my Bible is the New International Version." And my son looked at the cover of his Bible and just shook his head and said, "My Bible is just the Holy Bible." Bibles are very precious to us, and we need to guard the Word of the Lord in our hearts. This is an important Bible because it sits in front of the sanctuary, and it's here every Sunday, and it reminds us, along with the cross and other things in this room, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'd like to say that that makes it a really important Bible. But to me, this is perhaps the most important Bible in my life. And the reason that this is the most important Bible in my life is because it's the first Bible I ever had. It was given to me by my parents when I was about 5 years old. And I get that from the inscription date inside. So I was 5 years old. I couldn't read yet. They had to read it to me. And they actually used it to help me to learn. Here's why this Bible is so important. It's not just that it was my first Bible. I mean, I could pick up almost anything, any Bible this morning and say, this is the most important Bible in my life. But the reason this is important to me is because when we have little children, those of us who are parents, those of us who are going to be parents, when we have little children, infants, one of the things that we do from the time that they're tiny babies up through grade school is we take them to the doctor for shots. We take them for immunizations. And this is a spiritual immunization. This helps us, helps our children, and it helps us to be aware of the poison of those little spiritual snakes that creep into our lives. It helps us to stay on track with God's will so that we're leading healthy Christian lives and we're not looking to other sources to build up our faith, which in fact tear them down. Don't get me wrong. There's good things that help us with our faith. There really are. There's good books and good movies and good songs. But one of the things that we have to remember is those words of John Stott. Have Christians lost their enthusiasm, their confidence, their love for the gospel? Or does it just become something mundane, something everyday to us? It's something that we need to work on. It's not something that we need to become passionate about. The book that I quoted from John Stott is actually about, well, it goes back to the last century. I think it was about 30 years old. But just a few weeks ago, in an interview with the singer Bono, and some of you may know Bono, he sings a lot of secular music, but he's also a passionate Christian. And in an interview a couple of weeks ago, this is what he said. He said, the problem with modern Christian music, with much of modern Christian music, is that it lacks passion. He said, if you want to see passion in music, open up your Bible and look at the book of Psalms. The Psalms have passion. The Psalms talk about hate and love. The Psalms talk about disobedience and redemption. The Psalms talk about human failings and the grace of God. In everything that we do, in some way, we need to relate it back to God's Word. God's Word should be the center of our life. As we are called to be salt and light to the world, the Bible, God's Word, is salt and light to us. You know, scientists have this saying, actually it's not scientists, it comes from science, I think it comes from physics, that for every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. We need to remember that it works that way in our spiritual lives as well. Every time that we say yes to a heresy, we're saying no to orthodoxy. For every time that we say yes to the imaginations of men, we're saying no to the Word of God. And for every time that we say, you know what? That person has a point. There might be a different way for salvation. Every time we say yes to something like that, we're saying no to the cross and to the blood and to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This week we've got something really great going on at Covenant Presbyterian Church. We've got Vacation Bible School. And we've got over 100 children that are going to be immunized, if you will. Vacation Bible School is like a spiritual clinic. It's a place where we can send our children, trusting that they will get the Word of God infused into their minds and into their hearts. It should be a time of celebration in the church year. You know, we celebrate Christmas and we celebrate Easter, and we should be celebrating Vacation Bible School as well, because Vacation Bible School is a result of what happens at Christmas and Easter. This is a great week for this church. We're going to have over 100 children coming to Vacation Bible School. We're going to have over 100 children every day coming in here and hearing the Word of God. As I understand it, Kathy still needs a few volunteers, so if some of you feel moved to help, you might want to get a hold of her and talk to her. This is something that's really great. You know, we talk about these little spiritual snakes that are out there and how we need to guard against them. This is where it starts. This is where it starts, right here with the Word of God, and each and every one of us adhering to the Word of God, leaning not to the left or to the right, but straight on, holding Jesus dear to our hearts, as in fact He holds us dear to His heart. Be warned. Be warned, people, that there are traps out there that are being laid for you. And yes, you will overcome them, but you overcome them by having faith in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. You can have a good life, you can be a Christian, and still fall into those traps that are out there. But cling to the Word of God. Cling to the Word of God and let it be your prayer this week that Vacation Bible School is one of the greatest events that has ever taken place at Covenant Presbyterian Church. It's the future of our children. It's the future of our community. And I don't want to get over dramatic, but it's the future of our nation. And it makes God happy. And that's what we need to do. We need to worship Jesus all the time, continually, always in everything that we do. So this week, let's make it a point to pray for our children and to pray for Vacation Bible School. In Jesus' name, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come this week to present our children to you. There are many times that we present our children to you, one of which is at baptism, and there's other times as well. But we pray that this would be a special time for Vacation Bible School at Covenant Presbyterian Church. We pray that your Spirit will be upon this place, that your Spirit will be with upon each and every person who is participating, whether they be an adult or a child. We pray that our children will be immunized against those spiritual snakes that are out there. And as they are immunized, we pray that we also would have a reawakening within the hearts of each and every one of us, that we would want to read the Bible more, that we would want to pray more, that we would want to look to you more for the things that we need in our life, that we, as we see the things of the world, that we would be discerning, and that we would come back to you and say, is this right or is this wrong? That we would follow the path that you have laid down for us, that we would lead the lives that you want us to lead. And as we do so, we pray that you will be glorified and others will come to praise your name. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.